Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna on News Talk.
Now, Fiona Brennan is back with her Therapy from the Couch series, where she answers a listener dilemma. If you'd like to send something in for Fiona to cover another time, you can email aliveandkicking@newstalk.com and we keep everything anonymous. Fiona, you're very welcome.
Thank you, Claire. Lovely to be with you.
And when you sent this one on to me as a suggestion for the show, this is very common. This is something I hear anecdotally. This is something I see people talk about online a lot. So this is something that you would also see in clinic a good bit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, Claire. It's something I think so many families really do struggle with. And it's something that I think we need to address the earlier on that we address it, the better.
Well, let me read the email that we received and you can advise us from there. So the emailer says, I'm at the end of my tether, if I'm honest. I'm in my 50s and for the last while, I've been doing the lion's share of caring for my elderly father. I live closer to him than my siblings and I work part time. So somehow it's just become taken for granted that it's up to me. The hospital appointments, checking in on him every day, all of it. He's still very independent, thank God, but he needs the company and I worry about him being isolated. He was so dependent on my mother before she died and now I hate to see him on his own. I have two brothers and a sister and none of them lives that far away, but they're all working full time, very career driven, and it seems to me they think throwing a bit of money at the problem is the solution. Pay for this, pay for that, job done as far as they're concerned. I know that's not fair to say, maybe they do care in their own way, but it doesn't feel like it from where I'm standing. I find myself fuming half the time, stressed and anxious the rest of it. Dad seems to think they're all great and boasts about them all the time, which I find infuriating. I don't want to fall out with my family over this, but I can't keep doing it all either. And it is a really tough time, isn't it? And, you know, in this emailer's case, they have career-driven siblings. Often I see the case if one sibling has a family of their own and young children, and then you have somebody who perhaps didn't have children through choice or otherwise, and it's just assumed that they'll have more free time. So there's a lot of assumption, and it's fair to say that each adult in this situation is doing the best they can and juggling life as best they can, and it's not easy for any of them.
Absolutely, I mean, it's something that I suppose we never, even though we know it's coming, we don't actually really realize it until it's happening, that, you know, we are becoming the carers, if you like, you know, in terms of, you know, the stage of our lives. Once you're in your 50s and parents get older and start to need more care. So I think what we need to do is break it down. So there's five different steps, I think, that are going to help this listener. But first of all, just to explain the psychology behind it, because What's so important is the understanding of the situation. So when one person seems to be just by default the person that is actually taking the lion's share, there's often something more to it than just that. And really, it's about the roles that we play within our families. So this role is almost already predetermined or set, and it's often not a coincidence. For example, you know, this lady shares that she lives closer to her parents. So somewhere along the way, consciously or subconsciously, that was probably a choice that she made. You know, quite often it's the homebird or the person who wants to be close to the family that ends up in that position. So she's someone maybe who adopted that role early on, and now she's kind of, it's just become so intense and it's become magnified. So it's understanding your role and knowing where do you sit within the family, because that helps you to kind of get a picture of why you are where you are, and understanding it is really helpful. So then once you've understood it, let's say that's step one, right? You want to move away from like sort of blaming your siblings, because it's often not intentional. That's what's really important here, that, you know, people are not sort of intentionally trying to set out with this idea of you picking up all the pieces. Having said that, it doesn't mean that it has to continue. In fact, it's really important, like I said, you know, that the earlier you sort of intervene and start to make change, the better. So Really, it's looking at, I'm very interested in what this listener said about the loneliness. So step two is actually separating your dad's loneliness from your responsibility. And this is really hard because it kind of pulls at the heartstrings. And I think, you know, anyone who's lost a parent and sees the remaining partner on their own can relate. Like, it's very difficult to watch, especially if they were a close couple and they spent a lot of time together. But what we've got to remember in any relationship is that someone else's emotional, you know, feelings, their feelings are not our responsibility. In other words, we cannot take that on, because what happens is, and I think we can all again relate, is that we start to feel sorry for the person. You know, if you think someone's on their own and my poor dad, and you start to feel this kind of pity, and that is actually energy that doesn't help at all. It doesn't help you and it doesn't help your dad in this case. You want to move away from that sort of empathetic distress and more into an empowering type of compassion, which is where you're really encouraging him. You're you know, really noticing how well he is doing, and then also providing genuine companionship, which is actually going to alleviate the loneliness much more than that feeling of worry or pity. Because think about it yourself, Claire, like, nobody, you know, you don't want to feel like someone's pitying you or worried about you in that way, because it just makes you feel even more isolated. Yeah. So I think it's really good to spend time with your dad, but the time is like lighter, funner, you know, maybe it's something he likes to do, like bringing it, going out into the garden, and just, you know, keeping things light is what actually really helps people in that situation. Yeah.
I have like alarm bells ringing, red flags flying everywhere, because it's quite similar, you know, in my situation. I know, you know, you have your mom as well.
Yeah.
But I think it's a lovely reframe for people, because even though we become carers of our parents, particularly, you know, as things really advance and care is needed, but to not feel like it's your responsibility to manage all of their feelings and to feel sorry for them, I think is a really important reframe. And I think it really helped this listener. What about step three?
Step three. OK, so this is where we're getting practical, Claire. We're going to call the family meeting. And this is so important. So essentially, once, like, what this is why there are steps. So once this lady has worked through her own emotional kind of, you know, where she is with this and calm down. So what we want is that resentment, that anger, that frustration is not sort of seething away quietly under the surface. And that understanding is there. And once you're feeling calmer, it's now time to actually be very, very proactive. And this is a huge part of compassion. It's like the yang side of compassion, where we're moving into actual being proactive. So calling a family meeting and really being very clear, because you're in a position actually where you have a lot of more control than you think that you do. You're the person that has been carrying the lion's share, and therefore you have the authority to say, look, everybody, you need to come on Sunday at this time. I really recommend getting out of anyone's particular environment, like not your home, not anyone else's home, but a neutral space is actually very helpful. So it could be, you know, a nice cafe, or it could be out in nature or somewhere separate from trigger zones, if you like. And what you want to do is just be very clear on why you've gathered the siblings together. And then the first step, and this is where it takes a lot of patience, is you want to hear their perspectives before you share your own. So this is really where you ask them, how do you think dad is doing? And how do you see the future in terms of him getting older? You know, you said he's quite independent now, but, you know, that does change. And where do you see the future in terms of his care? So you just want to get an overview before you jump in. So once you've listened to everyone and been clear that we all need to listen, we're not interrupting, we just want to take it in turns here, you then share where you're coming from and really share from your heart in terms of how hard it has been for you, how you're feeling in terms of it's just too much. You cannot be expected to do all of the hospital visits, that you're, you know, his main companion, etc. And then you say, we're going to work on a rota. We're going to get this really, really clear that we're all playing our part. Otherwise, if we don't do that, what happens is you start to slip into the martyrdom. And, you know, this again is where we need to be very accountable for our own behavior. It's not intentional, but we can kind of, it's like almost, it's a little bit strange, but we can kind of take pleasure in being the person who is the responsible one, you know, being validated. Oh, you're so good. I know you'll do it. And even though we're not happy about it, it seems quite nice to get that validation. So you've got to be honest with yourself and say, look, this needs to be broken up like a piece of cake equally, right? So we all take our responsibility. Because if we don't do that, what happens is, you know, a shared responsibility, if it's not defined, becomes just absolutely chaotic. And that one person will end up, and that is this lady, will end up taking the lion's share. And it's just not fair, because essentially, what can happen, and I've seen it in my clinic, is that person starts to burn out. They can get themselves, you know, ill, exhausted, and then they also now become someone that needs to be cared for. Mm. So we've got to be really proactive.
And resentment builds. And then, you know, look, unfortunately, it's only going one way. Eventually, this parent will pass. And then that's a very sensitive time, and all of these things start bubbling up at that time, and it's no time to be really getting into it. Whereas if, as you said, if things have been ironed out, or at least there's been open communication earlier on, it puts everybody in a stronger position. What if you've got differing opinions, which you're bound to have? I get an inkling from this email that, you know, some of the siblings think maybe paying for professional carers to come in and out might be a better way to handle it rather than them doing it personally. So how do you manage where you've got one sibling?
Got a point there.
One sibling thinks, no, it has to be us. This is what dad likes. This is what dad needs. And someone says, no, why not? You know, not throw money at it, but why not have a professional? Because we are all busy and we don't want to burn out either. We'll still call and see dad. But how do you manage those differing opinions?
Well, I think you need to be very open. And, you know, it's like dealing with what it is, like I said earlier, what it is inside yourself. Like maybe this listener can feel lonely herself, and that's why it's kind of triggering, you know. So dealing with your own emotional well-being first and foremost. Because I do feel like, you know, we do need, like, a family who is stepping into that role needs support. Like, you want to keep relationships positive. You are there as a companion and a guide, but you don't want to be so thick in the caring that, you know, resentment starts to build. And so I think that the siblings have a point, and that could really help this lady to be open to that. And, you know, it sounds great that there is financial security there, and that's a good thing. You know what I mean?
Yes. So I'm conscious we have two more steps to go. Tell us what's next.
Well, step four is really building that plan together and kind of, you know, not taking on the role, even though that is the one you've played for so long, but saying, okay, so, you know, this week you're in charge of it. So you're not constantly being the person to remind others, because then that becomes like another chore, if you like. So, you know, it's like a month plan. If there's four siblings, week on week, you know, each person takes a week, and they're responsible for making sure that the father is cared for. If there's a hospital appointment, it's their turn. You know, include them in family things, like make sure that if there's a match on, one of the grandkids are playing, you know, suggest that he comes while he still can, you know, really sort of optimize this time, because it is precious. So I would say that has been very clear in the plan. Then step five is back to where we start and always finish, and that is protecting your own well-being. And this is really a non-negotiable, and I've had to work hard with clients over the years to help them really stick to this. And I know myself, it can be so hard to do it when you're in the thick of you know, caring and responsibility. But you have something in your life that is a non-negotiable for yourself, whether that is, you know, it's a sea swim, it's time with your friends, it is a yoga class, whatever your thing is that you keep it there and you hold it tight, because we actually need it more when we're under stress. We actually need that release, rather than letting that go. You hold on to it tighter than ever before, and that takes real commitment to yourself, but it is one that everybody benefits from. So step five is really protecting your own well-being. And I say step five, but it's step one, it's step two, three, four, and five. That's always our number one. We have to look after ourselves so that we are that tower of strength and love and compassion for everyone around us.
Yeah, and look, we send lots of love. Myself and Fiona have both lost our dads. I we've been on this journey, and you know, it's something that just came to me there, which makes me sad in a way. You know, I had a brilliant communication with my brother and sister. They were both still living in Ireland at the time when my dad was unwell. With my mum, we all communicated, we all put a plan in place, we all shared it, we all listened and felt heard. And it was great. But there were times where it was very, very stressful. And my kids will often talk about me being stressed at that time and me being angry at that time. And you don't realise how much your feeling is seeping out into the other areas of your life, no matter how much you think you're handling it. So it's so important that we do try and mind ourselves within all of this. The advice you've given is not airy fairy, because I know there are people in the thick of it saying, oh, for God's sake, that's all well and good, but you know, my brother this, my sister this, my father that. It's really important, because it does start to seep into your life. So
it
I think
really
you gave
does. That's yeah, good point, Claire. You know, how it can be pervasive then, and the impact it has on everything. And that's what you want to prevent, that it doesn't spill out like that, that you're somehow managing to contain it through these steps, you know, being very practical, but also very compassionate to yourself first and foremost. Yeah, absolutely.
Amazing advice as always. And Fiona, you are opening up your online clinic in September. It's the first time in a long time that you've had space.
It is. Yes, absolutely. So you can book directly on my website, thepositivehabit.com, or find out more on Instagram on The Positive Habit. And essentially, yeah, it's my clinic that I've been running for many years. And I've added a few more spaces just recently. So if anyone is interested in one-to-one work, this is your opportunity now.
Therapist Fiona Brennan from The Positive Habit. Love you. Thank you so much for coming on.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna. Sunday morning at 8 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.